Thanks for downloading the free feed of Sunday Night's Main Event. If you'd like the entire show commercial-free, please sign up to our Patreon at patreon.com/SNMEradio.
And all of these neurologists, every specialist, every doctor I've seen has said the same thing, and it is this. You are cleared.
This is Sunday Night's Main Event.
In clear violation of the law.
With Jason Agnew.
I have a microphone and I can be louder than each and every one of you.
On TSN Radio.
I'm not finished with you!
Seth burns down the funhouse. Jericho drinks more of the bubbly. And Impact Wrestling is bound for glory. And apparently we have a very different definition of what glory is. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sunday Night's Main Event coming at you live tonight on TSN Radio. My name is Jason Agnew, and joining me here in studio, the man with the broken leg that is just happy to be out of the house, bartender Dave. Dave, I made you watch Impact tonight, and you made it through.
Well, thank you, Brother Jason, but I have a number for you. It's 3,576, and that's how many days have elapsed since I last watched the Impact product, and I think I'm good for about another 3,500.
All right, we're going to talk about it tonight, though, and we are live, so we are looking for your phone calls, 1-866-729-2562. If you watched Impact, that's great. Call in about that. If not, the whole week of wrestling is up for grabs, 1-866-729-2562. 562 at SNME Radio on Twitter, and you can find the Facebook group as well. Plus, later in the show, Dave Meltzer, Turnbuckle Trivia, all of that still to come. We're going to take a break and come on back because we watch Bound for Glory, so you don't have to. And trust me, you probably don't want to, but we're going to talk about it. This is Sunday Night's Main Event on TSN Radio.
Hello, Gordy Levesque here. No one swings and hacks like I do. And no one struts quite like I do, too. And no one brews beer like Great Lakes do. Canuck Pale Ale. My beer. Your beer. Our beer. Available in over 400 LCBO and grocery store across Ontario for only $2.80. Great Lakes Brewery. Brewed for you, Ontario.
She's gonna win it!
Come on, Tessa!
We're gonna make history here!
Wait, it's Ace Austin! Oh my! What the hell?
He used that baton! That stick!
Ace Austin's gonna steal the X Division Championship! He did it!
I mean, it's weird playing Motorhead without Lavransky in the room. I'm kind of thrown by this here, but I wanted to play considering right there we had the highlight of the night from Bound for Glory tonight. I would say that match in particular and the finish there. Oh, my goodness. Tessa Blanchard. A lot of people thought that she might have won that match, an intergender match for the X Division title there, but not coming out on top. Instead, Ace Austin stealing it away. And I think his program is already set on up. But we will talk about that as we talk about this show tonight. It is Bound for Glory. Jason Agnew here across from me, bartender Dave, because I dragged him in here and said, actually, I said, hey, buddy, you want to get out of the house? You got a broken leg. You want to watch some wrestling tonight? Because we had a date last week
Dave. Yes, we did. Yeah.
We went to see Destiny Wrestling. Actually, some of the guys on this show tonight.
There was quite a few in that Battle Royal. Can I call it a battle?
It's a gauntlet match.
Yeah, there you go.
That is TNA's term for a Royal Rumble. There was 20 men, and that's actually how we started our
when
night tonight.
When you said, come out and watch some wrestling, you did not say Impact, by the way.
I absolutely did so, David. I warned you. I wouldn't throw you into this. Listen, you know, I'm off and on as far as Impact goes. It is a product that has really flown under the radar since they've found themselves on a variety of different television stations, the most recent one being pursuit. But now, the reason why I thought, hey, let's watch this is because the deal with, you know, we had the guys at Anthem go ahead and buy Access. Yep. So Impact will be on Access. It will be exposed to at least more viewers, more potential viewers, shall I say. We'll see if people actually tune in because it is a very crowded landscape of professional wrestling right now. But Bound for Glory is like the WrestleMania. So a few years ago, I grabbed Mouth and brought him in and... Whoosh. That was last year.
Okay, now was this one better?
This was better than last year.
Okay, good. Yeah.
But 2 years ago, I think it was. I think that was the one with the Callahan hardcore match, or maybe that was a Slammiversary. But there was one where I watched it here, and it was quite good. And I was like, oh, it's turning around.
Yep.
I don't know how many times I've said Impact, oh, it's turning around. I'm not saying that after this one tonight.
Well, it had some high points in it, definitely.
And we just heard one right there. But starting things off tonight, we had the Call Your Shot Gauntlet match. Once again, as far as the way Impact goes, this is their Royal Rumble style match. 20 people in. Whoever wins this gets their shot. They get to call their shot in regards to what title they want a shot on. I guess the where and the when. I guess it's kind of like their Money in the Bank type of deal here. And this was a story that was told, David, where Eddie Edwards came in first, and Eddie Edwards did not get thrown out. And then the difference with the gauntlet match is the two final competitors get into a match with one another. And that happened with Eddie and Mahabali Shira. But some of the notable things that happened in this match, Eddie Edwards came out. We lost the feed.
Yes, yes. It was for a good, like, 3-4 minutes almost there. And it came back on, and we saw, oh, hey, there's three people in the ring now, and then it went back
out
again. Yeah.
Yeah, there were some connectivity problems here that were at the root. It wasn't our streaming here because a lot of other people had this happen as well. I'm going to see if I can get a refund like I did last time.
Do it up.
Not a joke. we got to see Joey Ryan come out in this match at number 6, Dave. And Joey Ryan, also tonight, they've declared that he has signed a contract with Impact. I feel like Impact is just trying to do things that no one else is willing to do. Not necessarily in a good way.
Yeah, I totally see that. And like right from the get-go, they really pushed the intergender aspect of wrestling. And I felt that theme stretched the entire way through the show.
Well, it did. I mean, you had it here in this gauntlet match. And along with that, you know, as we heard, Tessa Blanchard was in the X Division match as well, the ladder match. In this one, though, you had Jessica Havoc and Rosemary in this match. Along with that, Kira Hogan and Kylie Rae.
Yes.
Smiley Kylie Rae pops up in Impact here. We did know this was going to happen. And Kylie Rae looks to be a part of Impact Wrestling now. Also in this match, we had Jordynne Grace in here as well, who I actually thought had a chance of winning this, the powerhouse that she is. I thought if they were pushing intergender, Dave, I thought maybe they might put a woman over here.
Yeah, exactly. And she would have been a great choice because she's got the size to her and like the physique and the moves too. Like, and we also got to see Swoggle. So that kind of made me smile, too. I really like seeing him.
There was a lot of comedy spots in this match. We had, of course, if Joey Ryan's involved, there was all the penis spots.
Yeah, that five-man too power much. Of the penis was a bit hard to handle. Okay, forget it. Go on.
And along with that, we also got, we had Tommy Dreamer show up in this match, and we Sabu, Dave.
Yeah.
Sabu in this match. It is 2019, the end of 2019, and Sabu is wrestling on pay-per-view.
And he survived.
He did survive. Yeah, the last four were Fala Ba, Eddie Edwards, Fulton, and Mahabali Shira. And then, as I mentioned, Eddie Edwards won, and then also he defeated Mahabali Shira in a very quick match.
Yeah,
at the
it really
end of this.
Was.
I mean, I don't need that ending to a gauntlet match. I'm fine with just the Royal Rumble format. Just throw the guy over.
Well, yeah, and it's our both of our favorite pay-per-view.
Yeah, Royal Rumble is. Yeah,
it's fantastic. So just toss him over. But I did like that because they got over that Boston Knee Party. I think that's a fantastic name for a. For a move, I liked it a lot.
We then went on to the Knockouts Championship. It's Taya Valkyrie, who's your champion, going in the longest reigning champion of all time as far as the Knockouts go, versus Tennille Dashwood. Both of these women were trained by Lance Storm, and the announcers do claim Taya's first match of her career ever was against Tennille Dashwood.
Mm-hmm.
something went wrong with the audio in this match. I believe there was a man playing a drum yeah. in the crowd.
You said that, and I tried to make up excuses for it, because I'm like, no, it's just the ring. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, wait, no, that's definitely a snare drum.
Take the drum away from the man in the crowd. It felt like I was watching Major League.
Yeah.
This, to me, was a bit of a sloppy match, which yes. I was kind of surprised about, though, because if these two do have that history together, I was surprised it was so sloppy, including, you know, you had that botched package pile driver spot on the apron Taya tried to do on Tenille. Yeah.
Yeah. And coming from, like, Lance Storm, you'd think, you expect a lot more, because some of the people that he's produced are just, like, amazing, amazing performers.
Tenille hits the spotlight kick on Taya here at the end, but Johnny Bravo pulls Taya over to the rope. He's tossed from ringside, but as he goes out, he tosses Taya a chain. She misses using it, drops it. Tenille picks it up, but then throws it away, which backfires on her because she messes up her finisher. And
it's the first thing I thought. You got a chain, use it.
Well, she didn't want to get DQ'd, so, you know, the baby face in that scenario, I guess that makes sense. Taya hits the road to Valhalla, and it is over, so Taya retains here. Then we get a promo from Rob Van Dam and Rhino. They say they're not there to play games. And your Impact Tag Championships are next. The North, which is the champions going in, Josh Alexander and Ethan Page versus RVD and Rhino versus Willie Mack and Rich Swann. Now, the announcers claim when they announce this match that they were going to explain how it worked, and three guys start in the ring, and Josh Matthews explains how it's always going to be three guys in the ring. And then all of a sudden, I think it was Rhino who got out, and he's like, oh no, sorry, it's only two guys in the ring at once.
You got to get your things straight here, people.
Know the rules. Know the rules, please.
I was confused right off the get-go. It's like, okay, let's see how this goes.
Yeah, this really doesn't, two guys in the ring really doesn't happen for the most part, though. I mean, there's lots of multi-person moves in here, lots of chaos. It's action-packed. The crowd, you know, it's pretty into it, David. I mean, I know you're a fan of Willie Mack as well, seeing Willie Mack in this match.
Yeah, I was excited to, because I heard so much about him, and what I've seen about him, I've really enjoyed. But this was the first, like, real outing that I've watched. And I was impressed by the match, but I was more so impressed at the chemistry of the North, of Alexander and Ethan Page. Like, wow, did they ever get off some really good-looking moves, strong style looking stuff. Like, I loved it.
So at the end of this match, Rhino is going for a gore and the crowd is going nuts, and then all of a sudden RVD super kicks him.
Yeah. Like, out of nowhere.
I guess there's going to be more to this, obviously, but it's just strange because obviously the crowd boos, and the North then finishes off Rich Swann and pins him. RVD then takes the elastic out of his hair, out of his ponytail, and tosses it onto Rhino and walks up the ramp. To me, regardless of not knowing the backstory on this, it still doesn't make sense as a storyline. And the reason I say that is because once you are a professional wrestler who is surviving on nostalgia, fans do not wish to boo you.
Oh, God, no.
And Rob Van Dam, this is clearly a heel turn on his part. That doesn't make any sense for Rob Van Dam, especially at this point in his career, to be a heel.
Exactly. You'd be better off using Rhino, because Rhino's been a heel many, many times in his career. And Rob Van Dam is like, everybody wants to cheer him. Like you said, like, he does the RVD and
that's
everything.
It,
it's just,
right?
Everybody loves him.
This isn't a time when, you know, he's youthful in his career. Yeah. Like, you know what, Rob? The RVD thing, maybe we slow that down. Maybe we flip you to being a heel. It's like, no. You're on your, not on your last legs, because let's face it, we saw Shamrock here tonight. But, you know, you're up there, Rob. We're just going to ride out these I almost said glory days, but it ain't glory.
No.
It's just, we're going to ride out nostalgia here. And we're going to let you get the cool pop. We're going to throw you into the middle of the card. We're going to have you get young guys over. Like, all of those things work for Rob Van Dam. Turning him heel, I don't understand.
Exactly.
Why.
And like you said, you nailed it right there. Put younger guys over. This is going to turn into a feud of two old guys.
Yeah.
And it's not going to help anybody.
No. You're right. Yeah. That doesn't make sense at all. After that, so by the way, in that match, as we mentioned, you have Josh Alexander and Ethan Page retain the championship, which is good. That's the right move.
Yep.
Makes total sense. We have a vignette. Ace Austin struts into, I think it's the women's locker room. It's a locker room in general, in just a towel. Alicia Edwards is in there, and he tells her that next time he sees her, he's going to be a champion. And then before they cut, a toilet flushes. Yeah.
It was forecasting the rest of the show.
No, wasn't that bad.
I know.
It's just like, guys, if you're not live, do a second take. Because honestly, when the toilet flushed, this is professional wrestling.
Yeah, someone's coming out of the...
That's right. I'm conditioned to Vince McMahon thinking this is hilarious, and I thought someone was coming out of the stall, but instead they just cut away. Match number four, Naomichi Marufuji versus Michael Elgin. This is a stiff match, Dave.
Yeah.
But one thing that you noticed in this match is we had a lot of the same spots repeating within it.
Yeah, it looked like they were going through the same motions over and over and over again. It was very, very hard hitting, and some of it was entertaining, but I just felt that the crowd was very silent, except for like random boos when Elgin would hit anything, and some really weak chants.
Yeah, and Marufuji, to me, kicked out a little too close to three on the near falls.
Yes!
It was to the point where the ref had kind of already hit the three, and I'm like, this happened twice,
yeah,
by the
twice,
way.
Twice, yes.
Where, the ref could have run over and gone, no, that was three.
Mm-hmm.
So the couple times in this match, Elgin ends up winning here with a burning hammer, which totally makes sense, because he is sticking around, obviously, a big part of Impact.
And he's got that greetings from Oshawa. You can't get a better name than that for a move.
Anything with Oshawa, I suppose. The X Division, people outside of the GTA have no idea.
Yeah, I know.
X Division title match is next. This, to me, was the match of the night on the show. As we mentioned, Tessa Blanchard is in this versus Ace Austin. AC Romero, Daga, and Jake Crist are in this match. Tessa Blanchard, Dave,
yeah.
She looks great.
Oh,
my
God.
She is so fast and so crisp with everything that she does. Was, to me, the standout of this match. Did not look out of place at all with these four other guys.
Yeah, I wrote down the exact same phrase. Big standout for me.
Mm-hmm.
I loved her. The finish of it got me so angry, and that made me love it even more. Because the whole match brought me into everything. And there were some crazy, crazy spots in this and a hell of a lot of cutters.
Yes, there was. That's Jake Crist. Yeah, he definitely threw a few of those in. There were some really, really big spots here. I mean, we had one where Daga jumps onto a ladder and does the seesaw thing on Ace Romero. And I just had these flashbacks because it was the same type of move that Joey Mercury got hit in the mouth with the ladder with. And it was just, bleeding blood from the mouth years ago in WWE. Of course, we have the signature Impact Wrestling spot where everyone piles up to the top rope, and then there's a ladder there as well, and then AC Romero hooks under them all and does the big power bomb spot. AC Romero at one point sets up two ladders. This guy is huge, by
Massive.
The way. He is absolutely huge, and he does this so he can put one foot on each of the ladders. To me, that's a horrible idea because it's just you're looking at a severely pulled groin if things go wrong. But Jake Crist gets him with the cutter before that could happen because you mentioned a lot of cutters. There's a crazy, crazy spot with a Canadian Destroyer by Daga on Crist outside the ring on an elevated ladder.
Yeah.
That was nuts. But not to be outdone by the fact that AC Romero once again climbs to the top and Tessa Blanchard pushes him up, pushes the ladder over, so he falls over top of the rope to a table on the outside. Like, this guy looks legit, like 400 pounds.
Easily.
This was an insane bump. At that point, we move into our finishing sequence as Tessa is trying to go for the championship. But Dave Crist, that's Jake's brother, runs in. But Tessa gets off the ladder and does a suicide dive to stop him. And then Fulton runs out. They have an awkward exchange in the ring. It ends with Tessa giving him her and Kanrana. And he rolls out of the ring, kind of awkward there.
Yes.
She goes to the top. Jake Crist comes up. She pushes him off onto a table. Tessa's going to win it.
Mm-hmm.
But out of nowhere, Ace Austin pops up because Tessa was kind of standing there for a little bit, not grabbing it.
Yeah.
He missed it by a couple seconds here. Ace Austin pops up, hits Tessa with that baton that he always brings to the ring. She falls down. He steals the title. This was a good match. I liked a lot of the storytelling here. I mean, the fact you wanted to see Tessa, I think we all wanted to see Tessa win, and that was interrupted. I don't feel ripped off.
No, definitely not.
But what I'm wondering, though, Dave,
yes,
is that, does this lead to Tessa and Ace Austin? Because earlier we saw Ace Austin with Eddie Edwards' wife, Alicia Edwards. So wouldn't it make sense that Eddie Edwards, who happens to have won the gauntlet match earlier, so he can call his shot now, wouldn't it make sense that he goes out of his way to call a shot for the X Division title so he can get his hands on Ace Romero?
Okay, storyline that would make sense with what they're telling there, but I always think it's ridiculous if anybody has a chance to go for a big title and they go for a lower title.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Like, I'm not an Impact fan. Like, I'm not an avid watcher. I don't know how the titles rank.
Well, I mean, you know, look at the way they rank tonight. I mean, put your heavyweight championship is always the one that's at the end.
Wouldn't it's you go for a heavyweight?
You probably should. But what if Rage? He's blinded by Rage, David. Blinded by Rage.
Oh, that'll get you nowhere. Trust me. 26 years.
Moose with Frank Trigg cuts a promo. Moose not really gifted on the mic. I've seen him do better than this. Moose says he competed against many great athletes, and this is nothing. Frank Trigg says Shamrock only has an arm bar and an ankle lock, and then Moose says he's going to prove to the world that he is a legend. So it's Ken Shamrock, 55-year-old Ken Shamrock versus Moose. The story that they started to tell at the beginning of this match to me was that, as they mentioned, as Frank Trigg mentioned, he trained Moose for an armbar and an ankle lock. Shamrock, knowing that, decides to fly.
Yeah, does he ever.
That suicide dives to the outside, springboards over the top ropes. And because of that, that throws Moose, and he starts to cheat. He gets the help of Trigg at ringside. There's a ref bump. There's a low blow.
I know where you're going.
Shamrock gets the ankle lock on for about 2 minutes. Moose does not tap. Trigg runs in. Ken punches him. And Trigg apparently has forgotten how to take a punch.
Big time.
Frank Trigg is an MMA fighter, was an MMA fighter. The fact that one punch has him rolling out of the ring is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. A manager, I get.
Yo, for
but
sure.
But not Frank Trigg.
No, this guy should be able to take all kinds of punches.
So, anyhow, the way this breaks down is you have Moose as your winner here.
Yeah, yeah. The world's most dangerous man with the world's most weak-looking ankle lock.
Yep. That is correct. I didn't write that down. Shamrock did lose this match, right?
Oh, yeah, he did.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Impact advertises. I was so taken by this. I was writing down the end of this match, and I was so taken by the fact that Impact advertised their next pay-per-view in January of 2020.
Yes.
With no date associated with it.
Just stay tuned to their social media platforms.
January 2020. And it's called Hard to Kill. And when you're talking Impact, ain't that the truth?
Mm-hmm.
These guys will not die. Impact Championship is your final here. Sami Callihan versus Brian Cage. Brian Cage comes out in cosplay and immediately takes me out of caring about this match.
Yo, big time.
It looks like he stopped at Toys R Us on the way, grabbed himself a Wolverine claw, and a Deadshot eye. This looked brutal.
You can't even call it cosplay. This is like Value Village Halloween stuff that he came out in.
Cage request that it be a no DQ match, which explains why he bites Callahan and Callahan blades. They use the Wolverine claw on the forehead. And as per the norm, Cage is very athletic and does a series of dives over the top to Callahan. But there's lots of plunder in this match. And it ends with Callahan bringing out the thumbtacks, which backfires on him because Cage seems impervious to the thumbtacks. And then Cage hits the drill claw and gets the win here. So no change in the title.
Has anyone who's ever brought out
thumbtacks?
Yeah, have they ever won?
I'm guessing it does have to happen.
It's because
normally it's the heel that brings out the thumbtacks, right? And the heel's probably going to lose in that scenario. But I mean, I'm sure that it has happened. So there you go, Dave. We've reintroduced you to Impact Wrestling, and that was Bound for Glory tonight. Listen, they kept it to 3 hours.
Yes, yeah, they did. Yeah.
It was not a bad card.
Nope.
The Shamrock thing was pretty awful.
They really shouldn't
do anything with Ken Shamrock anymore. He's 55, and he's punched, drunk, and beaten up after all those years in MMA, right?
Oh, for sure.
So he's just gone on for too long. And it's unfortunate because if you think back to this organization, I mean, he was their first champion.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
I mean, it was nice to bring him back in that respect, but he's clearly a guy, even though his body is still Oh, crazy.
Stellar. Yeah. The 8-pack. That's insane.
Don't necessarily think he should be doing stuff in the ring. To me, it's just Tessa Blanchard needs to get out of here.
She's so good. So taken with her. Just amazing.
So listen, that's our review of the show. 1-866-729-2562. We're looking for your thoughts. A lot went down this week. We watched a lot of TV. Dave has been in his apartment for the past 7 days doing nothing but watching wrestling. So
it's been longer than that.
Yeah, we'll talk about it when we continue on here. You are listening to Sunday Night's Main Event, and you're doing so on TSN Radio.
If you're a fan of Sunday Night's Main Event, check out WrestlingObserver.com, a daily podcast, multiple podcasts per day, with hosts Dave Meltzer, Brian Alvarez, and a number of others. You get a full library of podcasts dating back to 2005, over 9,000 shows, hundreds of back issues of Dave's Wrestling Observer newsletter dating back to 1991, and so much more. Don't miss out. Check it out today, WrestlingObserver.com.
This is the chant of NCU. It's firing up Sky.
Scorpio Sky has lit this place up since his tag.
Live up to his name. Up and over.
Slow back on Hero.
Fans are starting to fall in love with Scorpio Sky.
This is one hell of a performance.
Got a shoe back.
And that is how you make a performer in one night.
Oh, yeah.
Scorpio Sky this week on AEW in regards to this is how Daniels gets taken out by the Lucha Brothers, and all of a sudden, Scorpio Sky jumps in. Makes total sense. You know what was great about this, Dave?
What's that?
He didn't come out in his gear.
I know, right? It wasn't like, oh, I'm going to go out there in my gear. It was.
Yeah, it didn't make any sense.
Totally. And that package pile driver on the ramp,
it was pretty nasty.
Yeah.
It looked pretty good for what they were trying to get to. Okay, we're going to get to the tag tournament because I want to talk a lot about it this week on the show and get into AEW. But before we do that, I did offer up, hey, if you want to call in and talk about Impact, please do. And along with that, if you happen to be at Bound for Glory, then please call.
Mm-hmm.
And someone did. Because Glenn from Indiana was at Bound for Glory tonight. Glenn, how you doing?
Good. How are you gentlemen doing?
Doing very well.
Really
Thanks
good.
For calling in. So you opted to go and see this show live tonight. Are you a loyal Impact viewer still?
Yeah, I don't get it where I live with my cable system, but I do try to watch the YouTube highlights and things like that.
Man, that's hardcore. You don't even get it on cable and you're still watching. So you're in Indiana, though. How much of a drive was this for you?
3 hours.
So a 3-hour drive to go see this show tonight.
That's a true fan right there.
Was it worth it, Glenn?
It was an up-and-down show. I didn't get to hear what you guys said about it. It started off really hot, then there was a lull, then the ladder match was really, really hot, and then the debacle with Moose and Shamrock. And once you got past Brian Cage's Party City intro gear, that match started slow, but it got really, really good at the end.
Now, yeah, you pretty much described exactly what we said. Pretty much a lot of that, including, we didn't say Party City, but yeah, we said Toys R Us. So we're on the same page here, Glenn. Very good. I think you win with Party City, though. What do you think about, though, you have your Impact Championship and they go hardcore with that? I know it's expected by Sami Callihan. Did you like that, though, with the championship being defended in a hardcore match?
No, I know that's kind of what, you know, all of Cage's matches so far seem to have been either false count anywhere, just no DQ, or there's a lot of gaga going on. So I'm not sure about all that. With Callahan, I guess I expected just the bat. I didn't expect a lot of the other stuff he had going on, but it built pretty well, and it was on the, I was front row, but it was on the other side, so I couldn't see a lot of the guardrail stuff, but it came across pretty well. So.
And how, you know, you said you were front row there. How was attendance tonight?
They had it blocked off, so I'm not sure how you may not have ever been there. But
no.
Like when ECW pay-per-views was there, it held probably 2,500 to 3,000.
Right.
They had it blocked off quite a bit. I'd say there was 600, maybe.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
But they quit selling tickets less than a week ago, saying that it was sold out. So I would have thought they would have opened it up a bit more. They really only had two sections of GA available. Those were across from the hard camera.
Huh, that's a weird choice. But, you know, I mean, it's a very competitive environment. So with that, you know, you paid for a front row ticket, and along with that, you made the drive. Was tonight worth it for you, Glenn?
I did. It was. I had a very good time. Like I said, there's a few matches. The ladies' match, the crowd kind of died, and then the Moose thing, everybody just was holding their heads in agony. But the rest of it was really good. I definitely say it was worth traveling to and going to. I had a very fun time with the show.
Oh, Impact, good to hear.
House shows and stuff, they've always been pretty good. It's just sometimes the TVs and the bookings, just you shake your head. But as far as the guys' effort and going there and having fun, it was a pretty good show.
All right. Well, appreciate the call as you're driving home. Drive safe, Glenn. Thanks.
Thanks, guys. Have a good night.
You too. There you go. Nice to hear from someone that was there live. Phone lines remain open the entire show. 1-866-729-2562. Another one is ringing right now, Jeremy, so pick it on up. But as we get to, well, we will get to that phone call in a second, Dave. So I want to talk about this tag tournament. As I said, so Scorpio Sky.
Yes.
Dave, to me, you know, it's always been Kazarian and Daniels, and they have the history together. You know, you go back. They were in Impact together.
Oh,
they
so
moved to
far
Ring
back.
Of Honor. These guys are so funny. They're great in the ring together as well. They got a lot of good things going on. When Scorpio joined, I was kind of like, this guy's a bit of a hanger-on. I don't understand why he's here. And I never really bought into him being there. Now, I did like his Barack Obama impression, which I was kind of like, well, yeah, that's funny. But that's a comedy thing.
Yeah.
The thing is, when they pulled Daniels from this match, I was like, oh, Scorpio Sky, that's a bit of a rip-off for everybody. By the end of the match, I was like, wow, you know what? Kazarian and Daniels can remain as a team because now you got a solo star with this guy.
Yeah.
I thought in one night they completely changed my opinion on Scorpio Sky.
I felt the exact same way with him coming into the group. Sore thumb. Looked like a sore thumb to me. But they really did make me invest in him. I think that I'm really intrigued with how he comes out of this because, like, the shoe... It was fantastic. Everything that about that match I thought was really well done, and it really built him up as an actual threat.
Now, of course, along with that, this week a lot of criticism. This is really a good or bad scenario. People had very strong opinions about the other match, and that was the Jurassic Express versus the Lucha Brothers. Of course, Luchasaurus is hurt, looks like an ACL problem.
Mm-hmm.
Torn hamstring problem. So Marco Stunt is put into the match. A lot of criticism here because he's in the match. He's too small, a lot of people are saying, and the match went too long. On the other hand, because when he came out and he did that floss, people booed. But by the end of the match, people were really into it.
Yeah.
What was your take on Marco? Okay, you're shaking your head. People can't see that on the radio.
I know. I'm trying to think about it because I never really liked the guy. I thought the same thing, too small. But what I did like about how this happened was without Luchasaurus in the match, it made Jungle Boy look that much more intimidating.
Because he's standing
bigger.
Beside Marco, right?
Exactly. So I kind of like that because I really like Jungle Boy. I really like the Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus. But Marco Stunt, he's like the underdog now. And I kind of felt the same way at the end, kind of cheering for him.
I didn't mind him being in the match. Listen,
right.
I don't necessarily like him as part of the team. I'm fine with just Luchasaurus and Jungle Boy together. I think they're just a better team under their own. And it's funny, though, because much like Scorpio Sky being thrown in, you know, with the addiction, these guys, I'm kind of like, why is Stunt being shoehorned into this scenario here? I didn't mind him being in this match, but I thought it went too long. These are the Lucha Brothers. These are one of the top tag teams, not just in AEW, but in all of wrestling.
Exactly.
Period. Yep. There's also a built-in excuse with the Jurassic Express that they're young and they're inexperienced. I really thought that this was an opportunity for the Lucha Brothers to really just show off their dominance in the division and destroy these guys. In particular, if you wanted to take out Jungle Boy so you didn't really damage him and just beat on Marco, I think that this would have been an ideal opportunity to do so.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying a squash, but it went a little too long for me.
Yeah, I agree with you. Lucha Brothers are my pick to win the entire thing. I think that they should.
That was the next thing I was going to ask. You remember when we saw, it was I think on episode maybe it was even episode one, where you saw SCU and the Lucha Brothers came out and they did a face-to-face.
Yes.
I've been saying on the show for the past 2 weeks, that is foreshadowing.
Mm-hmm.
The end of the tournament is going to be SCU versus the Lucha Brothers. And honestly, I don't care which team wins. I actually think that it would be okay because you have Jericho in the spot and you have a heel heavyweight champion, that it would be fine to put your crowd favorites of SCU and have Scorpio Sky leading this team and give them the tag titles first. I'd be okay with that.
I wouldn't. I want Lucha Brothers.
You want
to
Lucha
win.
Brothers.
Yeah. I just like them. I love their look, their feel, everything about it. They're so good. And I've always, I have a problem with Christopher Daniels.
Why?
Because he just looks like somebody's uncle trying to act cool.
Oh, man, I love Christopher Daniels.
Oh, I've never liked him.
No.
Not even like the fallen angel Christopher Daniels. I've never liked him. I've always thought,
I think he's great. Now, this week, we're going to see two of the semifinals on TV. It's Private Party versus the Lucha Brothers and SCU versus the Dark Order. This will be the Dark Order's first time on AEW television.
Oh,
not
that's
including
right.
Pay-per-view.
Yeah, because it was the
they
pay-per-view.
Got the bye.
Yeah.
They got the bye. And there, now this is also very divided, because I've talked to some people. It seems that people have seen them here, and I'm assuming that you've seen them here in the indie scene, have you not?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, okay. So what is your take on the former Super Smash Brothers, now the Dark Order, on AEW, or going from, you know, when you've seen them here to AEW?
I'm kind of... The one guy's really thin, and the one guy's really big, and I don't really buy him as a threat. I don't buy them.
You don't buy them.
No.
See, what I don't like here is I think that they're still between two gimmicks. I don't think that they've fully adopted whatever this Dark Order gimmick is. I don't know what it is. And along with that, you know, why is one guy still Evil Uno? Why is he still? Because he went from like player one or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, but now he's evil.
Great. And also, they, here, this week on the show, new ring gear. You got a TNT budget.
Yeah.
Don't look like any guys.
Okay.
Give me new ring
gear.
Yeah. I think it's very important. And I mean, I know that AEW seems to like these guys. They gave them the bye. They are a heel team. But I don't think with the momentum of SCU that you can put Dark Order over in this particular scenario.
No, definitely not.
I think they can look strong.
Unless Scorpio Sky costs them the match.
Scorpio Sky. So then you're going to get a feud with Christopher Daniels and Scorpio Sky?
Yeah.
Oh boy. I don't know. I just want to see them.
Am I
they got to have
fast?
Their moment for. Yeah, you're moved. Slow burn, Dave. Slow burn. We're talking AEW. We're talking everything that's happened this week. You're listening to Sunday Night's Main Event on TSN Radio. We are going to go to the phones. 1-866-729-2562 is the number to call. And on the line right now, Chris is on the line. Chris, did you watch Bound for Glory tonight?
G'day, lads. Yeah, I watched Bound for Glory tonight on the Fight app.
Okay, yeah, we watched it as well. So, so you bought this thing from Australia. What time is it there?
It was 10 a.m. when it started.
Okay.
Now, roughly 1:30 in the afternoon.
All right, so it's a nice midday.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a nice mid-Monday, right,
yeah,
Chris?
Yeah, coffee and watch some
wrestling. There you go.
Yeah, Monday.
So that's all right. So what did you think tonight?
As someone who hasn't really watched TNA since Bound for Glory 2014 when they were in Japan, I really didn't enjoy the show that much.
You did not. What was your why didn't you like it?
I think I've sort of been spoilt by AEW that there's now a competitor to WWE that's running in these bigger venues. It's lit like a major league promotion, and then to watch this was sort of like watching an ROH pay-per-view a few years ago after watching a WWE show.
I totally feel the same way.
Yeah, I mean, that's the one thing. One of the things, if you go back with Impact, when they were on Spike, you could always say, hey, great production values. You know, they really did look major league at that time. A smaller venue, but the lighting was wonderful. Audio and everything was always great with them. That's not necessarily the case anymore. I mean, you're right. It does look like Ring of Honor now. And you're taking that step back as far as production goes. And they just lost a bunch of their crew to AEW, which is kind of funny. So there definitely are some stumbling blocks there. Chris, let's go positive here though. What did you like on the show tonight?
I really enjoyed Tessa Blanchard's involvement in that five-way ladder match for the X Division title.
Yep.
I'm really surprised with the crowd reaction she got and the buzz she seemed to get the last few days online, that they didn't go with her in that match as the winner.
Yeah, that made me so angry as well.
I was surprised as well, but I think you saw a little bit of the foreshadow with the vignette before, and I am betting that that turns into a Eddie Edwards feud, which, by the way, I don't like the Eddie Edwards character. I really don't necessarily get it. Did it make you mad in a good way or a bad way?
Sort of indifferent, because I'm not that...
You're not invested.
...invested in the product.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're not invested.
And for $30, I don't think the pay-per-view was really worth that.
You know what? Yeah. That's an interesting point. Thank you very much for the call. Chris from Australia, a loyal patron of the show, and calling tonight. Nice midday event there to watch Impact. That's, it was $30 tonight, $30 American. So obviously it's less than AEW, but I do feel you get a lot less than you do buying an AEW show. We're going to take a break. We are going to come on back, taking more of your phone calls, and we'll dive into, we just scratched the surface on AEW this week, but along with that, we got a lot more to talk about, because SmackDown happened on Friday night. I think this show tonight was better than SmackDown.
I'll have to agree with you on that, Brother Jason.
1-866-729-2562 is the number to call. You're listening to Sunday Night's Main Event on TSN Radio.
Hello, Gordy Levesque here. No one swings and hacks like I do, and no one struts quite like I do, too. And no one brews beer like Great Lakes do. Canuck Pale Ale. My beer, your beer, our beer. Available in over 400 LCBO and grocery store across Ontario for only $2.80. Great Lakes Brewery, brewed for you, Ontario.
Let's face it, we all have insecurities, every last one of us. But tonight I stand here to say you can overcome. Do not run from them. Do not hide from them. Accept who you are. I accept who I am. I'm Shorty Gable. Actually, let's shorten that up. I'm Shorty G.
Short people got no reason. Short people got no
reason. Welcome back. Sunday night's main event. Here on TSN Radio, that's what we watched on Friday.
Yep.
Here's what I have written on my sheet for notes, Dave.
Okay.
Shorty Gable. Nope. Shorty G. Can this work? Question mark.
Absolutely not. Well, you know what? It will work.
It'll work?
Well, it'll get over. Shorty G's kind of catchy. I just think it's ridiculous that he's billing himself as accepting himself for who he is and what he is, and he's a short guy and just disregarding his Olympian status. I think it's ridiculous. You don't get ears like that being short.
It's real bad. This is real bad.
It's really bad.
The whole show, SmackDown, this is a show. I just want to mention this. If anyone from WWE is listening, this is your show on Fox.
Yeah, stop.
This should be important. When I was watching that first match, Reigns versus Nakamura.
Yeah.
And Baron Corbin interferes.
And I love Baron Corbin.
And that is going back to Reigns and Baron Corbin again?
Yeah, didn't get enough of that.
Wow. And then Daniel Bryan saves Reigns at the end of the match, so I guess they're still pals. At some point in the show, Reigns is now announced as the captain of Team Hogan because they botched putting Seth in there. But now the Seth match that's going to happen at Crown Jewel is the stipulation is match cannot be stopped for any reason. That is the stipulation.
You can decapitate your opponent.
Oh, don't say that in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah,
let's not bring that up. Don't go there. It's a more so dismemberment there, but anyhow. I don't even know where to go here. Bayley was on Miz TV on SmackDown. You know, I liked Bayley chopping down the Bayley buddies last week, but this seemed to do her no favors, though.
No.
I mean, that is something that she should have done many weeks ago.
Life sucks, and then you die.
She's already done this. Like, she aligned with Sasha.
Yep.
So that heel turn was already made a while ago, and now she's on. If anything, I think they could have taken a turn here, and maybe if you just had Sasha talk, and Bayley didn't talk.
Just, like, mug for the camera.
Yeah, just sat there.
Actually, that would have worked
stoic.
A lot better. Yeah.
Rather than what they did, which is Bayley blaming the fans. Another problem that I foresee with Bayley being a heel is that they followed up that segment with the six-pack challenge, and that means one of Bayley's first opponents is going to be of this myriad of amazing contenders. Dana Brooke, Mandy Rose, Nikki Cross, Carmella, Lacey Evans, Sonya Deville.
Yeah.
There is no one there that fans are getting behind.
Well, the one that won is probably the...
Nikki Cross?
It's your best chance.
Nikki Cross, her gimmick doesn't work. We never even saw the resolution to... I mean, I guess it could still come, the Alexa Bliss storyline, because they're both on SmackDown now, right?
Yes.
They got traded from Raw back. They got drafted individually to Raw and then got traded back. They were a tag team. They didn't get drafted together, and then they got traded back together.
Yeah, but just wait. Like, Nikki Cross and Bayley are going to tear it down at Crown Jewel.
No, what? Oh, okay. I see what you did there. So the thing is, Nikki Cross is much... We never saw the resolution to the Alexa Bliss taking advantage of her friend.
Yeah.
Like, that hasn't come about. I guess it still could.
Maybe they are just good friends, though. But, like, it seemed like they were leading to that.
Yes,
and
they
were.
Yeah. And then along with that, Nikki Cross, what is she? She was a part of Sanity.
Yeah, she was crazy back then.
But she's still kind of crazy now, but not all that crazy.
She doesn't bite the ropes anymore.
Right?
Yeah.
She is...
Tone it down.
She's a shadow of what she used to be, and the old character was great.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed her as a sidebar to Sanity, and then because of that, being able to compete in the women's division, knowing that she's attached to Sanity, and the character all makes sense. Everything works in that scenario.
Well, is there anybody else on SmackDown that would have been a more viable contender?
I don't know. I mean, I read those six out. Alexa Bliss is there as well. They could go back to that.
Yeah.
Really? No, that's part of the problem.
Yeah.
That is absolutely part of the problem here.
Your most likely
contender should be Sasha.
Yeah. And the last 2 weeks of shows just bleed into each other. I can't really remember. Like, didn't...
It felt like a repeat.
Yeah.
So that is where it was just a terrible, terrible episode. The show this week, by the way, due to baseball, is going to be on FS1. Doesn't affect us here in Canada, but will in the U.S. And of course, ratings will plummet there. This is going to be the go home SmackDown for Crown Jewel. Crown Jewel, of course, now also having the Hogan versus Flair teams match, which, by the way, if you think about this, the Hogan versus Flair team match, the next pay-per-view after this is Survivor Series, which will, of course, have some team matches. This is just, WWE is horrendous right now.
Oh,
this draft
completely.
Is just, I don't even know if it's still a slippery slope. Did they just fall off a cliff? I guess it was a small cliff because it was already bad.
They're just putting all their money into the XFL right now.
That's where the time is going.
Yeah.
Alrighty. So here is what we are going to do. We're going to take another break. Meltzer is going to be on the other side of this. We'll talk to him about some of the news of the week. We are going to go back to talk about some AEW stuff. We haven't even talked about Chris Jericho yet and the bubbly and them celebrating in the ring and his match with Darby Allin as well. And do you buy Darby Allin? Who did some very fun spots when his hands were tied behind his back. We're going to do all that still to come. Turnbuckle Trivia. Meltzer is next. You are listening to Sunday Night's Main Event. You're doing so on TSN Radio. Thanks for listening to the free version of Sunday Night's Main Event. Well, that was just hour one, but if you want hour two, then please sign up to our Patreon, patreon.com/SNMEradio. It's just $1 a week. You get the full 2 hour show, commercial free, and along with that, all of our bonus podcasts that include the Midweek Markout, All Elite Weekly, Sunday Morning Trivia, and Dan Lavransky's Music Show. All of that comes to you for just $1 a week. So go get it right now. Patreon.com/SNMEradio.